the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Today is going to be a very fun program over the next 3 hours. It's a guest-heavy show today. Zach Cohen, VSiN.com, going to be on in 30 minutes. Two full segments with him. A ton of bets to go over from the NFL betting guide here at VSiN, NBA futures, and he loves betting tennis. We'll get his Wimbledon thoughts coming up then. David Baker, four-time World Series of Poker bracelet winner in studio, former NFL football contest winner out here in Las Vegas as well. He's in studio later on. Mike Palm in studio as well, his normal Wednesday time. And Ryan Heath with some great analysis in the VSiN NFL betting guide with player props. We'll talk to him coming up in 2 hours, Paulie. 19 games today on the Major League Baseball card because of rainouts yesterday and the doubleheaders we're getting today as a result. A bunch of games today are now either really close to getting over with or they have gone final. And first game of a doubleheader goes to the Padres as a Pivetta over Abel in that game. They actually took a little bit of money, did the Phillies, and the Padres opened about $1.20. Some money came in on the Phillies, but they did not win that game. Padres took that one. The Tigers were all over the Nationals, 11-2, final score there. And now how about this? The Brewers explode for five after they trailed by a score of 2-1. They won 7-2. Peralta good again for Milwaukee. Final score 7-2. Paulie, the Mets are 3-14 in their last 17 games. And oh, by the way, they get Mizorowski coming up.
That's right. The Phenom's going, and you get him at a good price as well. So the issues continue for the Mets. Brewers are hot. I know you love them. And I got to come back with Milwaukee. I don't mind Milwaukee first five also in the nightcap.
Aren't they begging you to bet them today?
They are, yeah. Most games since 1979, by the way, what we're doing today. And then they completed that suspended game. Good luck finding a recap on ESPN with that thing. How they go back a day, and then it's like you can't even find stats like it never even happened. But
I know.
But
it,
Boston got by Cincinnati.
It is over. Yeah, 5-3 final score there. So I'm on the same page as you. I was listening to the fellas on Fantasy Points a little bit earlier today, and they were making the case that Mizorowski just seems so cheap that you have to bet it.
Yep.
Right? And I'm right there with them. I mean, this number right now for a guy that he's taking on, and the Mets overall in the season, they've been good at home, but again, in a total tailspin as we speak, and you're looking at that number, and this kid has been in his last, I'll give you the order in order of appearance here. Mizorowski's case by game, 5, 6, and 8. Innings pitched, 5, 6, and 5. Hits allowed, 0, 1, and 2. He's $1.80 right now to win the National League Rookie of the Year. He's made 3 starts, and yet it's coming down to almost like a pick 'em. This feels like the Astros game against Colorado last night.
It did, yeah. Well, most people think, well, you can't sweep a doubleheader, so I'll come back with the team that loses in game two. But you want to try that here? Be my guest. Opponents are 3 of 49 against them, and 19 Ks, not going well for the Mets. Maybe he gets in trouble with the walks, but I think he's too good right now. Milwaukee's too good. Plus, there's questions about Tidwell as well, which I think the Brewers can touch him up, the starter, for the Mets. So Milwaukee first five, and I do think that Phillies get a split, though.
So do I.
Cease has been horrendous on the road. 0-5 with an ERA of 6 and change, 9 starts. Schwarber has great numbers against them, hitting .429. And I know we love Sanchez, and I think they'll bounce back. You can get as high as +135, I'm seeing, on the run line. But $1.60 at DraftKings. I think the Phillies get the split.
So I'm looking at Cease overall on the year, right? The ERA is 4.53, which is not great, obviously. The FIP is much better than that. So the truer number is 3.23, and he has 11.5 Ks per nine. But I can't get behind this guy, especially on the road like you talked about. He's had 2 bad starts in a row on the road, 9 earned runs, 13 hits over 9 innings pitched. And if you go back and look and really crunch the numbers on Sanchez, 93 innings pitched on the year, a 2.79 ERA, the FIP right in the same neighborhood, almost 10 Ks per nine, doesn't allow home runs. And he had 11 Ks in his last start in Houston, and the Astros are like elite when it comes to hitting against lefties, and he's recorded at least 18 outs in 5 straight starts. He had 21 outs twice and 24 in the other. I'm with you on this one. Totally. The Brewers and also the Phillies, man. But when they, you know, that old saying, Paulie, when it looks too easy, a lot of times it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also have a lot of success. You're playing against these teams that are on streaks, whether they're playing poorly or hot. Miami gets there again last night, 8 in a row. Pirates win again. Giants can't hit. They're a mess. Devers strikes out again.
Yeah.
You get again, the Diamondbacks at a great price. And then you got the reeling Yankees, too. I why are the Yankees favored in Toronto? I can't understand that one. And with exception of one start, I think it was against Philly, Barrios has been solid the last five for Toronto. They're plus money at home. If they win, they're tied for first. And to be the latest, they'd be a share of first place since 2016.
Yeah.
So I don't mind. And Springer's on fire, too. 12 of 26, last seven, hit the two bombs while we were on the air yesterday. So I don't – plus money on Toronto. Keep fading the Giants. Fade the Yankees. And a lot of good games on the card. And what was the other one I was going to say? Oh, yeah, the Orioles. I mean, what was that price yesterday? Good return on Texas on the run line. Right. I know you're concerned about the offense, but Evaldi's had a great year, and he's only $1.40 today.
Yeah, so more on the Yankees game, by the way. Warren, who is having a really good rookie season for the Pinstripers, right? And his Ks per nine, they're very, very good for a guy at 26 years old making his rookie campaign. But the splits on the road, Paul, for what it's worth, now that we're halfway through the season compared to when he's playing at Yankee Stadium on the road, which is where he's at tonight, the ERA is higher than 5.5. And at home, it's 3.35. So it's better than 2 runs at home compared to on the road. The whip on the road is 1.45 compared to 1.2. And Barrios has been pretty rock solid overall on the year. I know Judge has really good numbers against the guy.
Yeah, 4 bombs.
Yeah.
I believe, yeah.
Yeah, but he also had great numbers going into the matchup against Gausman yesterday, too. And the home run never popped anyway for him. And they're struggling big time, both teams in New York right now. And Toronto with a win, what, will be tied for first place?
That's right.
Yeah.
You want to fade Detroit? Flaherty's been awful. It's Flaherty against your guy, Gore. If you want to get involved with the K prop as well. Flaherty has lost three in a row and 18 earned runs in that span with an ERA of 12. It's been ugly for Detroit. Well, the one thing that goes wrong for the Tigers. And Gore's $1.10 at home in a nightcap.
I can't get behind Flaherty. Overall, the numbers on the year, the ERA is almost 5. Yuck. The FIP is not much better. He does have good K numbers, but he's also allowing a lot of home runs. He's allowed 18 earned runs in his last 3 starts. That includes 5 home runs. Also, on the road tonight, his ERA there is 6.17 compared to 3.83 when he's at home. Every other number, right? The whip much higher on the road. The Ks per nine much lower than they are when they're at home. I will say this with Mackenzie Gore, although the Tigers can strike out a lot at times.
Mm-hmm.
Gore has had 6 or fewer Ks in 4 straight starts. So the overall K numbers have come down quite a bit for him when you look at strikeout percentage and Ks per nine. And Gore also better at home. The ERA is 2.27 compared to 3.74 on the road. The whip is 0.87 compared to 1.46. So he is much better at home. And this, I think, would tie into the thing that you said about the Brewers-Mets game coming up, is that, well, people are just going to think that, mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to get swept here in a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
And they're betting there was a year, I think it was 2 years ago, where that was almost automatic. The team that lost the first game of a doubleheader, yep. come back and bet him. I don't think that's the case anymore. I want to point this out to you. Bob Nightingale brought this up because you can bet on manager of the year at several books. I think probably a lot of them took it down today now with the early games going on. But here you have a national baseball writer tweeting out an hour ago that Don Kelly, who is the Pirates interim manager, has put himself smack dab in the NL manager of the year race after only 2 months on the job. The Pirates are 26-24 with him and 22-17 in their last 38 games, including 6 victories in a row. They were 12-26 when he took over on May 8th. It's not really a market that I get involved with.
Don't they have to make the playoffs, though?
I don't think so.
That's a big reach.
I don't know. What if they finish higher than 500 and they're a threat to make the playoffs? I mean, they were a complete disaster.
That's a tough sell, though. I know he took over a bad situation, at least what he inherited, but still, that's...
Well, if he's a high enough number, again, I don't pay attention to the market enough, but if he's a high enough number, certainly it'd be something. If you have a national baseball reporter tweeting about that, you got my attention.
All right, props. Woods on fire. 6 bombs last 18 games, hitting .330. Henderson, 7 of 8 career against Evaldi. Witt's hitting .455 against Gilbert. I mentioned the Schwarber, .429 against Cease. If Kershaw gets 3 strikeouts tonight, 20th pitcher in history to reach 3,000. What a career it's been for him. And the Dodgers are .340 tonight against the White Sox. Doesn't matter who's hurt. Doesn't matter what happens. They
probably
find a way to win.
Probably should have bet them to sweep them here at Circa.
Yeah. Tough beat, too, if you had the over. 6-1 in the fourth, and it died. If you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL betting guide, your first real edge, available now. 95 pages. Everyone did a great job. Zach Cohen on to talk about it. Will Hill and Wes Reynolds tomorrow. Previews of every team, win total breakdowns, best bets, player props, betting projections, MVP. Lock it in. Football special, 175 through the Super Bowl. Every betting guide, every best bet, every host, every guest. 24/7 video, all the data and tools. Early bird pricing expires at the end of the month. Don't wait. Lock it in. 175 for the football season. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get it now.
I don't want to bury the lead. Here's your big boy with a prop tonight. It's Merrill Kelly and the Diamondbacks. He has gone over his K-prop in 10 straight starts.
All right.
We talked about this 8 times last week when Mike Palm was in for you, Paulie, the day that he was pitching. He eventually went over his K-prop yet again, obviously. He's 12-2 over his last 14. The K-prop has consistently been at 5.5 here recently. That's the number again tonight. Now, instead of getting plus money on the over, it's like minus 140. So, hello, that number has changed. Gallen did strike out 10 Giants last night, and for what it's worth, again, 4 straight starters have gone over their K-prop against the Giants.
Good. Devers, one of his last 15 with 11 strikeouts.
He's in that.
There's a couple right there. For
early season funk again.
Yes, right.
You know?
Yeah.
So always something going on here in Major League Baseball. Up next, win-lose is early based on a very guest-heavy show today. Rival execs are saying they completely panicked. Can't wait to talk about this next here on VSiN.
Sports betting and win some, lose some.
How about that? 11-point dogs, Commissioner's Cup, Fever win 4-1 on the money line. No problem. Blowout without Clark. And a big celebration afterwards.
You can take your CLV, crumple it up, and throw it in the trash.
How about that?
Meant absolutely nothing last night.
Lynx couldn't score. At home, throttled.
Big lead early.
Incredible.
Vanished, and then that was it.
Angels plus 180. On fire. Anderson does it again. Best team ROI in baseball.
David came down today, and he told us, watch out for this team to make a move before the deadline. Maybe it's worth a bet to make the playoffs.
All right. Cubbies. They look easy today, too, with Imanaga. Cubbies 165 up to 205. Cleveland struggling, can't hit.
Yeah.
And they won last night. I don't mind coming back with the Cubs again today. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in, we'll put you on. Mitch sent this in. How good is this? Here's a dog, and be careful of Friday. Give him a hug. But this dog loves fireworks. The dog was born deaf.
Yeah.
And that's just walk. Hey, look at that. Lighting up the sky, and he's okay, calm, cool, and collected. But like our guy Blue, that French bulldog that's all over Instagram that was born deaf and eats with his hands like a human.
Has no idea, other than the visual.
Yeah, right. That's awesome.
By the way, we got an early test run last night here in it's monsoon season.
Okay.
Did that wake you up at all? The thunderstorms at about 2 a.m.? Oh, my God.
Somehow
we don't get those every day.
Yeah, slept through it, but the whole area around here, power went out. It's crazy. How about this guy? Throw him in. Put the vest on the bulldog. Throw him in the pool. Bucket, watch this. Can I go? Can I make it? Can I?
Cannonball?
Face first.
First he
face
goes
first,
in.
First he goes in the pool. He's thinking, making up his mind. How am I going to attack it, right? He goes in face first. He's got a little toy there. He's got a little toy shark. The big fella. Got the vest on, swimming, having a good time. Get back in there. There, he nailed it the second time.
Took the plunge.
That's
all
excellent.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's great. Here he comes in on the owner. Come in. Get on. Jump on the owner. Perfect. Jumps into his arms as well. Excellent with the bulldog. Well done. Lose some. Lynx 4.5 up to 11. Routed at home in the Braves 160 up to 205. Well, you know this feeling. This one's, I put this under lose some with the jealous factor here. Yeah, they got a baby now. There's the Braves. Get the face on the dog. Ah, this sucks. I used to be number one. I've been downgraded now.
Oh, those days are long gone.
Yep, right. All of a sudden, no one's paying attention to the dog, and it's all about the baby and the look on the dad's face. And look at that. This sucks. Look at his face. Says it all. But what happened here? What happened to me? I was the favorite. Now I'm number two.
I make sure, Paul, to give our dogs attention. I carve out a little window every single day.
Good job.
Have to.
Good for you. Look at him. I feel terrible for him here, right? I always like those videos, too, on Instagram where the dog is like, oh, we got welcoming the baby, putting the sheet over him.
To help him out, or
looking at him and wanting to play with him as well. A couple bad beats. White Sox Dodgers over 8.5, 6-1 in the fourth, nothing the rest of the way. And our guy, a friend of ours, had this. The Astros team total over 6.5. They had 6, I think, in the third or fourth inning.
They exploded for a bunch in that one inning.
Nothing the rest of the way. They had to hang on 6-5. Brutal. Profit X offering the best odds all baseball season long. Peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your picks against other groups of fans rather than against books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today, code VSIN, earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. One lose some. Here, this is interesting. It's like, hey, did the check clear? Did the money hit my account? After getting a 5-year, $240 million extension, the Grizzlies announced that Jaren Jackson injured his right foot, participating in off-season activities. He'd be reassessed in 12 weeks. He could be out up to 5 months. Turf toe injury. That's what Garland had, and he's out 3 to 5. I mean, is that kind of like, oh, by the way, what the agent says. Is it good? Did you sign it, Jaren? Good. Okay, now tell him what happened. I was away from the team, and I got hurt.
Oh, so 3 to 5.
That's the timeline.
In theory, he could be back for the start of the season, though. But if it's 5 months, and it's going to trickle into.
That doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. I mean, we're here in July, but that's, reassess the situation in 3 months.
Yeah. All right. Have you had a little bit more time to digest what the Bucks did yesterday?
Yes. Number one, I wasn't aware that essentially they're paying Miles Turner $50 million a year because you have the equivalent of Bridges with the Knicks who makes the same amount of money. That's what Lillard is. That's what essentially this is. Lillard is not on the team anymore, gone, but they still have to carry $23 million a year on their payroll cap for the next 5 years. So it's like having a Bridges player on the cap, on your team payroll, and you have to factor it in with Turner, and then his contract's big because of what the T-Wolves did, overpaying Naz Reid, 5 for $125. Lopez, kind of the similar numbers to Turner, but then they went out and so essentially they're paying Turner $50 million a year.
Pretty much. There was one executive who talked to ESPN, called it absolutely reckless.
Yes,
and he said that this sounds like a good idea when you're in the conference room upstairs. Like, let's make this happen.
Kicking it around, right?
Sure. By the way, did you know that there's nothing they can do about that dead cap hit now?
Nope.
Once they make that decision,
well said.
You're stuck.
Yeah.
They have to pay that $22+ million against the dead money every single year for the next five years.
The other comment was they're going to realize in 2 years, oh, my God, what did we do? Some great analogies I've heard from Brian Windhorst and others. It's like taking a third or fourth mortgage out on your home and then using it to get a sports car or emptying your 401k, robbing Peter to pay Paul. What they essentially did here. So it was interesting.
Paul,
more. Everyone around the league is just laughing at the Bucks. That's my takeaway.
So the Bucks can be good this year. They've actually done a pretty good job of piecing together a roster, right? Despite having to pay this stupid dead cap money now for Damian Lillard, who, by the way, Damian Lillard, you need to calm down because he's giving all this inside information to like reporters and just knock it off, man. Grow up, put your big boy pants on already. But having said that, they can be pretty good this year. But I will tell you that, in my opinion, there's a chance this is going to go down worse than the Angels getting absolutely nothing for Shohei Ohtani in return. Because if they don't make the NBA Finals at least one more time with Giannis, they have no picks. Like, they're completely screwed in the future. And they're up against it now by having to pay this $22-plus million every single year without Damian Lillard for the next 5 years. Right now, they could get and unload Giannis for one of the biggest deals in the history of sports in terms of the return. You would think a team would absolutely give up a ton for that guy, countless picks, good players in return. They could salvage the future. They're not going to do that. So if they actually decide to punt on Giannis a handful of years down the road, what is he going to be, 33, 34, 35 years old? When 5 first-round picks minimum and 2 proven players. I'm guessing that's what they could get for him today. That's going to vanish and go bye-bye, and they're going to get, I don't know, maybe a couple of picks and maybe a fringe NBA-like rotation guy when he's 35 years old. They're going to be living with nothing but regret in 5 years if they don't make the NBA Finals, and there's probably a good chance that they don't.
They keep putting off the rebuild. They won't do it. They panicked when they got the one seed and got bounced in the first round, and then they're doing whatever they can to keep Giannis, and now it's like when you go back and look at this, they still won't even have paid off the assets and everything they gave up to get Lillard.
Yeah.
And then he's still on the books for 5 years coming up. So historic of what they did yesterday, because it's never been done from that standpoint of how much money we're talking about, $113 million. So it's without picks, and this could get really ugly here. Because Porter's your point guard?
Well, I mean,
they got some guys who can score.
I like Porter. He can emerge as a pretty good player, I think, right? I like him. I think the combination of Turner and Giannis will work to some extent anyway. I'm a little bit concerned that, again, his numbers are pretty much the same as Lopez, although he's 8 years younger.
He shoots threes, though, and he stretches the defense, so that opens up the lane for Giannis. That helps.
That's very true. I will point out, when Lillard got hurt down the stretch in the season, and Giannis basically took over as the point guard, he averaged 33.5 points, almost 16 rebounds, and almost 7 assists, and he shot 60% from the floor. There is a path here where Giannis can win his third MVP.
Okay, not bad.
You know,
and the other thing we got into yesterday was the Indiana side of things, and Brian Windhorst saying I'd punch things, I'd be furious.
Well,
they haven't gone into the tax in 20 years. You just go to the finals, go 7 games, and now it's okay. Well, and they played with fire. They said, well, the markets, no one's out there that can sign you. We're going to kind of not lowball you, but we're not going to give you like the Naz Reid money. And then the big surprise happened. And Milwaukee was able to do this, and now they lost Turner. And it's like, you know, why Windhorst said you got to be furious. It's like, why would you, what do you think he paid for the team? $100 million? Probably worth $1 billion now? You haven't gone in the tax in 20 years? You just go to the finals? Now, I can say it because I can't prove it. If Halliburton doesn't get hurt, maybe they sign him and give him what they want.
Right.
But still, you play with fire. Sometimes you get burned, and that's what happened to the Pacers.
Well, I can almost promise you that if you gave the Pacers brass truth serum and asked them if they saw this one coming, how it played out with the Bucks, there is absolutely no chance they would have said, yeah, I saw that
no
one
way.
Coming.
Right.
No,
right.
Who did?
It's what they did. They said no one else can give you that kind of cash. How about we come down for $20, $21 million a year? And they said, oh, peekaboo, look at this. Look what Milwaukee offered.
Yeah.
But it also, the bad luck for Indiana was what Minnesota gave Naz Reid. Because once Naz Reid got 5 for $125, then the price, and then Jakob Poeltl got all that money.
Oh, Poeltl, that's amazing.
We got like $26 million a year, Jakob Poeltl.
Just light money on fire. Go ahead. All right, so we're going to continue going down this path. Zach Cohn's going to join the program coming up next. We'll dive into NBA futures, Wimbledon bets that he likes as well. Who should we look at in the women's outrights with some early chaos? We'll ask him next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
A lot to get into here as we welcome in Zach Cohn. Does a great job on the website and guesting on other shows here on VSiN throughout the day and throughout the week. And he joined us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Here's the game plan here with Zach. He has a ton of bets in the VSiN NFL betting guide. We'll get to that coming up in about 15 minutes. He also loves betting tennis. That's coming up. And he loves betting the NBA, Zach. And thanks for joining the program today. We appreciate it as always. We just talked about this sport, specifically on the Bucks. I guess, where are you at with that team today? How do you think they've cobbled together a team with Giannis moving into next season?
I thought they did pretty well to try to be competitive next season. I mean, I don't really see them winning the Eastern Conference as is. But if this is a guy that wanted to stay in Milwaukee and wanted to have a chance of, you know, maybe winning the Eastern Conference, they did what they had to do. I mean, I know that it seemed like he was upset about moving Damian Lillard out, but bringing Miles Turner in, to me, was trying to rebuild the championship team that they made a few years ago. I think that Turner right now in his prime is very similar to what Lopez was when they won that title. It's a floor spacing big that can protect the rim, and you pair him with Giannis, you have a great defensive 4-5. I just think that they need a little bit more firepower in the backcourt. I would like to see them, you know, maybe go out and get one of these restricted free agents in Cam Thomas or Quentin Grimes over the next couple of days. And they can do that if they dump Kyle Kuzma's salary over to Brooklyn. But I don't know how aggressive they're looking to be.
So everyone's got an opinion here on the East with all the injuries. and what you could bet from a future standpoint. And it's great to see all the activity. What did you think of the Atlanta Hawks now and what you talked about your article last week and the movement with the Atlanta Hawks before and then after the trades that they made?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this in the newsletter, but I took them at 90-1 to win the Eastern Conference the day before they made that Kristaps Porzingis trade. And what I wrote in that article was that they had the ability to make some moves in this offseason. I think I was expecting, you know, singles and doubles. They ended up hitting some home runs. I mean, getting Porzingis for what they got him for, which was essentially nothing, was huge. I'm not sure he's going to end up starting. I think that's still going to be Onyeka Okongwu, who had a really good second half of last year. But whenever Porzingis is on the floor, he gives them a good rim protector and floor spacer. This is a team that now always has guys around Trae Young that are like 6'8 or taller. All of them play both ends of the floor. They have a lot of length. They have guys that defend. They have guys that can shoot. And bringing in Nikhil Alexander-Walker to me was huge because that's just a player that I absolutely love. When you're talking about role players, one that can guard one through three, shoots about 40% from three, that's somebody that you could either play with Young or you can run the second unit. It was just an unbelievable move for them. And I also liked adding Kennard, who maybe doesn't have a spot for them in the postseason, but is a really good regular season player the way that he can fill it up.
He can shoot, no doubt.
Yeah. So, you know, all week long, and even going back to like last week, the projections were, who should we grab right now to win the East? It's going to be chaos. Let's grab some big numbers here. And clearly that's something that you've done with a ticket like that on the Hawks. But right now, as we sit, shouldn't we all be just looking at the Cavaliers, who are going to be loaded again next year and maybe healthy come playoff time? And also, Paulie and I think the Knicks have had a hell of an offseason so far. Mike Brown, you can say whatever you want about that hire, but aren't they like two of the clear best teams in the Eastern Conference as we speak?
Yeah, it felt like we were kind of leaving the Cavaliers out for a few weeks when everyone was trying to find the value in the Eastern Conference. You know, the Knicks were the favorites at that point. Cleveland did really well in adding Lonzo Ball. I really like that move. I think that he's going to be a perfect replacement for Ty Jerome because he gives them a little bit more than Jerome did. Jerome, obviously a very good three-point shooter, but Ball can shoot the three. He can make plays. He's a really good defender when he's healthy. So I like that move for them. I would agree they're the favorites, and I also did like what the Knicks did. I think, you know, you head into the offseason with very little money and you desperately need depth to bring Jordan Clarkson and Gershon Yabusele and two guys that we know can contribute in the postseason. That was huge for them, and I am a pretty big Mike Brown believer. I thought he did a really good job in Sacramento and did not deserve to lose his job there. So I think it was a slight upgrade for them, and it could be a huge upgrade if they do end up adding an assistant coach that has a little bit more of an offensive mind. But I do think that those are the two favorites in the East. I did grab some Magic at 45-1 before the Bane deal. That was another one where I was really early on that too. But it was because I thought they were going to get Anfernee Simons, and they ended up getting Desmond Bane. So I got a little bit lucky there. But yeah, it's a kind of a three-headed monster atop the East right now.
How about Boston? Now, Brian Windhorst yesterday on ESPN thinks they could be a play-in team. But still, they have a lot of talent. They made some good moves. Could they be top three, top four regular season in the East? What do you think of the Celtics now after the trades?
I think they're better than a play-in team. I would be shocked if they don't finish top six. I mean, losing Tatum, obviously, it kills. And maybe losing Al Horford, that would hurt as well. But I thought that Simons was a really good move for them. It's a nice swing on a player that, you know, kind of fits what they do there. He shoots a lot of three-pointers, whether that's catch and shoot or off the dribble. And it's a player that we've seen kind of flirt with 20 points per game throughout his career without really having any spacing around him. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Simons can do in that wide open Joe Mazzulla offense. They still have Derek White right now, still have Jaylen Brown. Like, there's just a lot of talent to work with, and, you know, good organizations tend to figure it out. So Tatum being out is a blow, but I still view them as a playoff team.
So if we think the East might be wide open, despite the Cavaliers and Knicks being really, really good, what do we make of the West then? Because OKC is obviously loaded. They just won the title. I think the Nuggets have had an awesome couple of days here. The Rockets, clearly the same thing. And the Wolves have made back-to-back Western Conference Finals trips. So is it really top-heavy in the West, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's a three-team tier atop the Western Conference. It's the three teams you just said. I think it's the Thunder, the Rockets, and the Nuggets. And having said that, I would say I believe that there's some value still on Denver at plus 650 to win the conference, only because I do think they're right on par with OKC and Houston, and they're not being priced that way. So I'd be looking at plus 650. I loved what they've done so far. As a Suns fan, I've seen a lot of Cam Johnson. I think he's a much better player than Michael Porter Jr. He kind of gives you everything that Porter does and more. He's a better mover, a better defender, a smarter player. Like, I think he's going to work really well with Nikola Jokic. And then bringing Bruce Brown back, a player that, you know, earned a $20 million contract based on what he did in Denver the first time. Like, he's just such a good cutter, a really good perimeter defender, and a player that, you know, can run the second unit if he needs to. He's a pretty good ball handler. And then Tim Hardaway Jr. for the veterans minimum. That was shocking to me. Yeah. I mean, seeing Duncan Robinson get, you know, $18 million or whatever that was, and then seeing Hardaway for $4 or $5 million, like, those are very similar players in my mind.
Agreed. By the way, I got to point this out. So you said it was Windy who brought up the Celtics maybe being a play-in team. Can we hear somebody make the same case for the Lakers in the West?
Help's like, coming, Mitch.
Are we sure?
Help's coming.
Their roster isn't close to some of these teams, Zach.
Yeah.
I would have been really high on the Lakers if they brought back Finney Smith and then landed DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
Obviously, Finney Smith walked out the door. It looks like Pelinka really destroyed that relationship. And I'm interested in seeing what happens with other agents when, you know, they get wind of that. And if they don't land DeAndre Ayton, which now seems a little bit shakier than it did a few days ago, they're in real trouble to me, because I do think Ayton is going to end up with the Pacers as the turnaround.
Here's the latest there. McManaman's reporting that someone is going to make a big trade, and then they're going to have too many centers. And then that's when the Lakers are going to make that trade to get the center. And that maybe that's not Ayton now, too. Mm. So that's – I don't know who that would be.
Did he name names?
But that he did not.
No.
But that's what his sources are saying.
That's going to be a bad center, though, if it's a surplus of centers and you're trading for a third stringer.
No kidding. Yeah, I think you're spot on. A couple minutes here. Wimbledon, bets looking for tomorrow. Do you have anything in pocket as of right now?
Yeah, one of my big ones tomorrow is Quarantine Mutet Moneyline plus 205 against Grigor Dimitrov. It's a big price. Mutet has had a really good grass court season. He's 8-2 in 10 matches. Really has a great game for the surface because he's very good at hitting drop shots. He's very good at hitting slice shots. These are things that are very valuable on grass as opposed to anywhere else. Also good at coming to the net. And Dimitrov is a player that has been, you know, unhealthy for most of this season. He's had four retirements. One of them was as recent as the French Open. It did not allow him to kind of play in the lead up to grass court season. So I have questions about how he'll, you know, play in a very physical match. And Mutet is also 2-0 against Dimitrov. One of those wins was at Wimbledon a few years back. Like, I just think this is a match that is way closer to 50-50 than the odds suggest.
Very good. Did you grab any other women's? I read your story about the women. We've had a lot of chaos. Well, we did anyway in the first day or two, first round anyway. Did that open it up big time for you to say, you know what, I might as well grab a couple of other long shots here?
I had about a million futures, so I didn't add anything else. I mean, there was a lot of chaos here, but it was kind of expected chaos in some cases. I mean, I had Pegula to make a deep run, so that was one that I did not see coming, especially with her winning a title in Bad Homburg last week and beating Iga Świątek in the final there. Like, she's a very good grass court player. Coco, though, is a player that has struggled at Wimbledon in her career, never has been past the fourth round. So I kind of viewed that quarter as one with opportunity. And that's kind of why I think Iga is going to emerge from that quarter, though Rybakina's in there, too. She's a proven grass court player. So I didn't end up adding anything. I still have a lot left. But I will say, like, for as chaotic as it seems that it was, the Goff one was at least surprising of all of them.
Okay. Did you bet anything on the women's side for tomorrow?
Not yet. Okay. I do not have any women's plays tomorrow. Yeah.
Very cool. Zach, hang tight. You're cool enough to hang out for two full segments with us here and Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You have a ton of bets in the VSiN NFL Betting Guide, which is out as we speak. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. We'll run down some of those bets with Zach coming up next. I will tell you this. He and I are on the same page with this team, but he is much stronger than I am, and I have a pretty strong opinion and a healthy bet on them. Find out who that is next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We continue with VSiN.com superstar Zach Cohen. He's on the Progressive guest line and all over this network with guest spots. Does great write-ups every single day, multiple sports, and he is all over the NFL betting guide, which is now available at vsin.com/subscribe. And Zach, before the break, I was saying that you and I are on the same page with this team. I've talked about it over the last couple of days. My first win total bet was on the over 8.5 with the Minnesota Vikings, but you like them much more than I do, and I'm pretty high on them, obviously, this year. But state your case and the bets that you've made on the Vikings so far.
Yeah, I mean, so I have the over on 8.5 wins. I'm right there with you. And I also took them to win the NFC, and I have a sprinkle on them to win the Super Bowl. I think that a lot of people are obviously, you know, questioning J.J. McCarthy, and that's kind of the way it's been throughout his entire career, both in college and the NFL. And there's definitely some uncertainty at the quarterback position this year. But I would argue that there was that same uncertainty heading into last year with Sam Darnold as your quarterback. I just don't think we can really rule out anything when it comes to Kevin O'Connell in this offense. He's just such a good play caller, really good at just kind of like playing to players' strengths, minimizing the weaknesses. And I do think McCarthy offers a lot of what Darnold's had. I think he's an accurate passer. He's a smart passer. I think he has a little bit more zip on his arm than people think. And he is a good mover. So if that's there, when, you know, even coming off the knee surgery, I think this offense is going to be really good. I mean, you can't ask for better weapons. The offensive line is better than it was a year ago. The defense added a little bit of talent with Isaiah Rodgers and Jonathan Allen. And that was the group that was better than the offense last year. I think Brian Flores is maybe the best defensive coordinator in all of football. And that was a top five defense last year. So I think if the offense doesn't lose a step, that's a team that I really think is going to contend in the NFL.
Wow. And certainly we all gave out our picks to win divisions, and you have the Minnesota Vikings winning that division, as do I as well. And there you go. I'm looking at your Super Bowl prediction. Ravens over the Vikings. Oh, that is bold. That is bold, man. I like it.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, you have to stand out somehow, right?
Okay. Right. Cleveland going to be the worst team in the league? Walk us through this one. You like their under.
Yeah, I think it's possible. That wasn't the play I made. I just have under 5.5. It's really not much to do with the roster. Like, I think outside of the quarterback position, it's really not terrible. When you look through this team, you look at that schedule, like, they're only going to be favored in one game, and it's that game against the Titans, and maybe they won't even be at that point in the season. So it just feels like a lot to ask for this team to win 5 or 6 games when it's got one of the weirdest quarterback groups I've ever seen. And it's a similarly a coach like an O'Connell and Stefanski that he does do good work with quarterbacks. But, you know, the Flacco thing was 2 years ago. He did not have that same magic with the Colts last year. Pickett has never done anything in his NFL career. And I do think those two quarterbacks that they drafted are just a little bit further away than people think. Like, I don't really think that they want to go into the season with Gabriel or Shador starting. So as much talent as they have on the defensive side of the ball, there are still some holes on that side. And the offense just isn't going to be good enough to me to keep up in track meets.
Okay. Interested to hear your thoughts on this one. So we ran into our guy Stewart yesterday from Youngstown, and it's great because Tomlin is so polarizing. The national media loves him. Oh, he wins every year, but they can't stand him. And locals, they want him gone. And he's on the hot seat. Has he ever won a playoff game in 9 years? What do you think of the Steelers, 8.5 over plus money, and after the big trade, they get Ramsey and Smith?
Yeah, I really like that over, and I was shocked that it was still out there at plus money after the Ramsey and Janu trade. I think that offense was starving for playmakers after trading Pickens. Obviously, bringing in DK Metcalf is huge. Like, he's going to be tremendous for them. But Smith was unbelievable last year as like a short yardage, you know, yards after the catch tight end. It doesn't get much better than that. And I do think that Arnie Smith is going to really like having him. I think that this offense has the potential to be a lot better than it was a year ago. That kind of pains me to say as a Russell Wilson fan, but I do think Rodgers was good in the second half of last season with the Jets. Like, I am a Jet fan. I absolutely hated, you know, the circus that comes with him, but he played really well over those final 10 weeks of the season. And, you know, bringing him to a team with a winning culture, a really good defense, like, I think that the recipe for success is definitely there. I think the secondary last season was one of the bigger question marks, but adding Darius Slay and Jalen Ramsey, even if Ramsey has lost a step, definitely makes that unit better. I'm just hoping that they're able to figure out that TJ Watt situation, because it does sound like, you know, there is a chance that Watt's going to want out.
Sure. Yeah. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Zach Cohen, you can follow him on X. He is at Betting on X. Okay, so I have you know, been high on Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence in previous years. Never really came to fruition. They did make the one playoff run and had that comeback win against the Chargers. You like them this year. Why is now the time for Jacksonville?
Well, it wasn't as bad of a team as people thought last season. I mean, they went 2-8 in one score games a year ago. So the entire season could have been completely different if it was replayed. So honestly, 4-8 wins is not a huge jump in my opinion, especially when you're bringing over a coach that I really like. I mean, I think Liam Cohen is very similar to Ben Johnson in the way he's creative with calling plays. And I think we saw that last year with the Buccaneers. You know, obviously that passing game was tremendous last year. Baker had, you know, maybe the best season of his career, but the running game became elite under Cohen's watch. And I think that bringing over somebody like him to work with a talented roster should be really exciting for Jacksonville fans. And I do think that the defense, we've seen some strides out of them. The secondary is definitely a bit of a concern for me, but it's a team that I believe is really talented. Like, I think a lot of us picked them as a sleeper team heading into last season. That same talent's here. The coaching's a little bit better, and the division is still really bad. Sorry, my dogs are barking, but that is a team that I think is going to be a lot better this year than it was a year ago.
What kind of dogs do you have? Some big fellas, the way it sounds.
I have an Irish doodle, and I also have his brother here. My in-laws have his litter mate, so I have two dogs here.
Very nice. Take a picture. Tweet them out. I want to see what they look like when
we're
down here.
I will.
Yeah, that's very cool. MVP bets that you like. You're going to go to war with a couple of quarterbacks. That's the obvious choice, but you have to, right? You can't. I mean, what's the point of betting a running back or a wide receiver?
Yeah,
historically, this is just a quarterback award. I went through it in the guide. Like, if you're taking somebody in this market, it's got to be a quarterback. And last season was the best proof of that imaginable, because Saquon Barkley had an unbelievable season, put up all the numbers you could possibly hope for out of an MVP candidate, and he still did not win it. I think you have to take a quarterback in this market. I'm going back to Lamar Jackson. Like, it's a favorite. It's a little bit boring, but I do think that now that he's not the defending champion in the award, you know, the voter fatigue goes away in a way. And I do think that that offense is going to be tremendous this year. It was amazing last year, but they did add DeAndre Hopkins, who I mentioned in the guide, has lost a step, but still a very serviceable player, a guy with size, good hands. He's going to help them out quite a bit. I think we're going to see some huge numbers out of Jackson again this season. So plus 550, I think he's the best of those favorites. I also kind of like Jaden Daniels to do it this year, because I think that's another team that if they win 12 or so games, we're going to start giving him some MVP consideration. I mean, last year he had a borderline MVP season. I just don't think we really wanted to talk about him in that vein because he was a rookie. Now, no longer dealing with that and having a supporting cast that's much better. They improved their receiver group. They added Laremy Tunsil. I think that they're going to have another big year too. So I know that the sophomore slump is something that people talk about at the quarterback position, but I don't think that applies to a quarterback with his type of legs.
I don't disagree. I absolutely do not. You're also going to go and you bet a long shot at quarterback. And this is a guy that I'm absolutely on board with this year. I expect big things from this offense. And you like Baker Mayfield around 40-1.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a flyer at the quarterback position, like, that is where you go with it. I think Mayfield is another player that last year put up borderline MVP numbers. I do think that they need to win more games this year. I mean, winning the division is nice, but historically this has been a division where, you know, you're talking about 9 wins winning it. I think he needs to win 11 or 12 to really be part of that conversation. But man, like, they have loaded up on skill position players for him, and they continue to do it. Like, they definitely need help along the defense. They need help elsewhere on this offense, but they continue to supply him with wide receivers, which maybe makes sense with Chris Godwin coming off that serious injury last year. But man, I do think Mayfield's going to have another huge season, and seeing him all the way down at 40-1 in some spots, that doesn't sit right with me, knowing what he's capable of when it comes to just putting up big numbers.
Yeah, there you go. You also have a couple of bets that you like for Coach of the Year. Of the three, which one do you like the most?
I think it's Vrabel. I just think Vrabel's out there at a pretty good price for a team that just has such an easy schedule. I mean, you're talking about 11 games against teams that were below 500 last year, and, you know, a much better roster for him this year. They added a lot to that defensive side of the ball, and he's a defensive mind himself that I think is going to be able to pretty quickly turn around that defense. I also thought they did a really good job of addressing the offensive line in front of Drake May, who was awesome last year. I think May, you know, showed himself to be a future star in this league. I think that Josh McDaniels is kind of the perfect offensive coordinator for him, and I do think that that division, it's looking really weak. Like, I think the Dolphins are going to be disappointing, the Jets are going to be the Jets, and the Bills, you know, the Bills are going to be one of the best teams in the league, but I think that the Patriots have an outside shot at winning 10 games this year, and if they do that, I think Vrabel is going to be celebrated around the league.
Zach, that was awesome. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
Thank you, guys.
Good job.
There you go.
$500 try, G-Bank first bet in VEASAN. Open a G-Bank Visa signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 to trigger the $500 try. You get $200 in cash back rewards on your signature card as well. VEASAN completes it with the free subscription for $200 through August 31st. Get it now. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply.
Pro player David Baker on the program next. What's it like winning a fourth bracelet at the World Series of Poker?